This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas, powered by U Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Shazana Mukhtar. Cathay Pacific marked 75 years as the unofficial flag carrier for Hong Kong last September. But the pandemic experience has been brutal for the airline. And while other competitors are taking flight now amid global economic recovery, a big part of Cathay's fleet remains grounded as a result of China's zero COVID approach. Can Cathay Pacific survive the present turbulence? Joining me to discuss this today is Roger Lee, country manager for Malaysia and Brunei of Cathay Pacific Airways. Roger, welcome to The Breakfast Grill.
Thanks a lot, Shazana. Happy to be here. An incredible honour.
So I'd like to start by getting an idea of where Malaysian operations sit in the broader business framework of Cathay Pacific. How much does your outfit contribute to the group, and what would you say your primary role here is?
Sure. We've been in Malaysia for quite a number of years, so it is a really important part of our operations. Prior to the pandemic, our main two destinations that we flew into was Kuala Lumpur and Penang. We also had dedicated freighters flying into Penang. Of course, with the COVID-19 pandemic, those operations have been badly affected, shall we say, to say the least. However, throughout this pandemic, we've still remained very agile. We've responded to the demand that we've seen in the cargo market. So even for both Kuala Lumpur and Penang, we still have flights going in and out. In Kuala Lumpur, we've been operating passenger flights, but with only cargo on board and very limited passenger capacity because of the restrictions that we've seen across the world. Naturally, this picture is improving locally here in Malaysia. With the border reopening on the 1st of April, that has created an immense amount of opportunity. The 1st of April date was also a bit of a watershed moment in Hong Kong. A lot of the restrictions were eased. They haven't been fully lifted, but it's a sign of things to come. So, for instance, from the 1st of April, there was a lifting of a ban on 9 countries flying into Hong Kong. That was a positive sign. Transit was allowed again. And most importantly, the quarantine requirements were reduced from 14 days to 7 days. At one point last year, this was 21 days. I know for a lot of our Malaysian listeners out there, 7 days is still an onerous requirement. But what we have seen is an immense demand from local residents who are wishing to return to Hong Kong.
The picture you're painting is one of, I guess, the sun is slowly rising on the horizon for Cathay Pacific, because you did start the year on a pretty torrid note. I mean, in January, Cathay Pacific was on the Hong Kong government's blacklist for non-compliance with COVID-19 restrictions. The workforce was suffering really low morale. The business was down $5.5 billion in losses for 2021. Mm-hmm. So how much can this situation improve from now until the end of this year?
Well, I think that's a $1 million question. I don't have a crystal ball, but I think that the developments that I've spoken about are already a huge improvement, and we're already seeing that those effects throughout our business. For instance, here in Malaysia, we've been operating, roughly speaking, one flight a week from Kuala Lumpur. That picture is going to improve from July onwards. So from July onwards, we'll be operating 3 flights a week. Now, this is still a shadow of our pre-pandemic capacity, but it is a sign of things to come. And I think perhaps from October onwards, we are currently looking at increasing our capacity from 3 flights a week to perhaps a daily flight. So that's something that I think is, you know, as you said, it's some light at the end of the tunnel. We are responding where we can based on the government restrictions of the day.
There were reports earlier this week about rising COVID cases as a result of the reopening to international travel in Hong Kong. At this stage, does Cathay have contingencies if another lockdown is instituted, given the seemingly trigger-happy response of the government under zero COVID at the moment?
Well, I think that really speaks to the liquidity of the group. We don't have a crystal ball, as I said earlier, about where these government restrictions will go. what we're hoping for is that they will be eased further, which will allow us to increase our capacity. I think Hong Kong needs it. We've always been a very major aviation hub in the region, and I think the government is fully understanding of that. So when I talk about liquidity, what I can speak about is our liquidity position at the end of 2021. We had reserves of over 30 billion Hong Kong dollars, and that puts us in a very strong position to weather any short to medium term challenges from further COVID restrictions being imposed on us.
Back in March, the CEO, Augustus Tang, said that Cathay is burning some 190 million US dollars a month for as long as COVID restrictions are in place. So as you said, you've seen these restrictions ease in April. How much longer will this be sustainable before Cathay needs further government aid if, for example, the restrictions stay in place as they are for most of this year or beyond?
Sure. I think, again, you're really talking about our liquidity and operating cash burn. What Augustus has also been very public about is with the easing of restrictions in Hong Kong from April 1st, and there have been quite a number of other developments which have also helped. Based on our preliminary assessment, we are targeting to reduce our operating cash burn to less than 0.5 billion Hong Kong dollars per month. So this is quite a significant reduction from the previous figure of 1 to 1.5 billion Hong Kong dollars a month.
But there's no timeline for this, I suppose. This is a target that's hopefully going to be achieved sometime this year, assuming that things fall into place.
I think this is the target that we put in place based on the increase in capacity that we're seeing across the network. So this is not only from our passenger network being increased. I talked about our Kuala Lumpur flight frequency being increased. This is also happening across our network to some of our long-haul destinations. I think we are very positive that this will have an impact on our operating cash burn, and we're very much looking forward to further easing of restrictions in the second half of this year.
The big challenge for airlines at the moment now would be the price of oil, which has stayed elevated for the past year. It's currently hovering around 120 US dollars per barrel. Analysts say it could go up to as high as 175 US dollars. How is Cathay navigating these current prices?
Sure. From the price of oil, there are a whole host of other challenges faced by airlines in the, shall we call it, the COVID-19 recovery world. There's not much that Cathay can do unilaterally to change that.
Does it practice hedging?
We do have a hedging policy. We do hedge a certain amount of our aviation fuel needs. But as I said, these are challenges that are faced by all airlines. And what we have been doing is, we do have a prudent policy with hedging. We do hedge a certain portion of our fuel needs to protect us from those fuel increases. But yes, I can't deny that that is a challenge, and that's something that we have to manage prudently.
Are you able to share how much jet fuel costs have contributed to overall costs with the rise of oil at the moment?
I'm afraid, Shazana, I don't have those figures on hand. But I think perhaps for your listeners, we can also talk about, I think, manpower issues. I think this is a really topical issue that not only the airline industry has faced, the hospitality industry, and this is not just an issue that's restricted to Hong Kong, should we say. We're seeing this across the world. We are being prudent. Again, we're not sitting still. We know and we are anticipating a surge in the demand for passenger services. So we know that it takes time to hire people. So for certain jobs, such as in our cockpit or as flight attendants on board our aircraft, there is a significant lead time for training, and we are in the midst of hiring again in Hong Kong. So we've recently restarted our cadet pilot program to train the next generation of pilots for Cathay Pacific.
Where do you see the biggest gaps when it comes to labor? Is it among pilots? Is it cabin crew? Is it ground staff? Which segment do you think will be the most difficult to attract or even retain at the moment, given the reports of low morale among Cathay Pacific staff, just given the enormous restrictions they've been under for the past 2.5 years?
Yeah, I think that's always been a challenge. There are a lot of restrictions on our operating crews, shall we say, when they fly in and out in Hong Kong. And we really have been doing our best as a company to support them through that period. So I think that definitely is a challenge. But I think that there are some very positive signs. The government is easing some of those restrictions on our operating crews. And again, you know, with the increased passenger capacity throughout our network, there is a need for more cabin crew as well as more pilots, and that's what we're doing. We're not waiting for the ramp up to start and then we start hiring, because we know there's a lead time involved.
Can you share how big your workforce here in Malaysia is, and whether you've had to lay off Malaysian staff because of the cost cutting measures in Hong Kong?
Well, we do have a small team here in Malaysia, and I think the numbers, you know, are very much linked to our office staff as well as our operating staff. But we don't have any cabin crew here or pilots, because those crews come in from Hong Kong and they get turned around back to Hong Kong. What I will say on the restructuring, I don't think it's appropriate to get into the details of what exactly happened here in Malaysia. I think it was a very difficult decision that had to be made by the company at the time in October 2020, forced very much by the impact of COVID, the COVID-19 pandemic. I think that episode was very difficult and challenging, but we've moved on from that. We've used the time over the course of the pandemic to strengthen our business, to make sure that we keep adding value to our customer experience. We can't take it for granted that our passengers and our agents will come back to us. So we know that we've always had to innovate and improve, and that's what we've done. And I hope that when the recovery really comes, we'll be able to bear the fruits of all those efforts.
Can I ask, how much did your team have to cut down back in October 2020, if in terms of percentages, if not in number term?
I think across the group, I think that number was 20% reduction. And it was sort of split. I don't have the exact split any between operating crew as well as office-based staff, but it was 20% across the group.
That would have been felt along your team here as well. Yeah. I'm speaking to Roger Lee, country manager for Malaysia and Brunei of Cathay Pacific Airways. When we come back, what's the outlook for the global travel industry from Cathay's perspective? Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thanks for staying tuned to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Shazana Mokhtar, and with me today is Roger Lee, country manager for Malaysia and Brunei of Cathay Pacific. So Roger, earlier in the show, you were talking to us about the timeline that you saw in terms of ramping up flights from Malaysia. I'm wondering though, I feel like you would still be at a disadvantage at the moment because travelers are locking in plans for months into the future. You're losing out on those bookings because you don't have the flight capacity at the moment. So do you have a strategy to stay attractive to customers here?
Sure. I think, as I said, our capacity is limited versus our other competitors. And I think this is something that we acknowledge, but we fully expect this picture to improve in the future. And as I said, we would like to restore our capacity in both the Kuala Lumpur and Penang markets back to our pre-pandemic capacity. What we're already seeing right now is an increased amount of demand from residents wishing to return to Hong Kong. And that's the support that we're getting with as we further open up our network to our long-haul destinations, such as North America. I'm confident that we'll be able to capture more of our transit passengers connecting through Hong Kong. So I think that's something that we're looking forward to.
Could you just remind me again, what was your flight schedule like pre-pandemic?
Sure. Our pre-pandemic schedule, we used to operate 4 flights daily into Kuala Lumpur and 2 flights daily into Penang. So a fraction of what we're operating right now, although it is a positive sign, is a fraction of what we were operating. But as I said, we remain committed to the Malaysian market, and we fully intend to restore that capacity wherever and whenever we can.
How much of your business is reliant on business travelers?
I don't have that exact figure off the top of my head right now, but it goes without saying business travelers, or what we call corporate travel, is a very important part of our business. And I think the reason being is Hong Kong is a major international financial center. It is a key component of the Greater Bay Area. So there are a lot of business travelers, and typically in the past, we focused a lot of our attention and efforts on our premium cabins, being in first, business and premium economy. So this, I think, will continue to be a key part of our focus. And I think what we're also really excited about, and I think there have been a lot of articles out there talking about the premium leisure market. We also feel that this is an area of opportunity for us. And I think for a number of reasons. I think the first is pent-up travel demand. People haven't really traveled over the past 3 years. And I think people are really embracing the ability to travel without quarantine. And secondly, I think there is perhaps, should we say, a propensity and a willingness to spend because they haven't traveled over the last 3 years. Yeah, I think we're well placed to capture on that demand with our focus on being a premium full service carrier.
You're painting all these opportunities, but Cathay Pacific isn't really in the position to capitalize on those opportunities at the moment, given that so much of it is banking on what's happening in Hong Kong at the moment. Yeah, so yeah. It does sound as if you are kind of in limbo at the moment, really at the mercy of the COVID situation in Hong Kong.
I think we've spoken a lot about that, Shazana, right? I think it's a matter of time. I think Hong Kong is one of the world's greatest international financial centers. It relies on the free flow of people and goods and services. So we still have a role to play in that. And I think that's what we're really focusing on. I mean, maybe I can speak a little bit about the Greater Bay Area. And I know for a lot of listeners here in Malaysia, that's perhaps a subject that doesn't really sort of roll off the tongue for a lot of people. But this is a megalopolis consisting of 9 cities and 2 special administrative regions in the Pearl River Delta, home to over 70 million people. The total GDP is equivalent to 12% of China's GDP. There's an immense amount of opportunity with Hong Kong being on the doorstep of this Greater Bay Area and Cathay Pacific being one of the home carriers in the Hong Kong market. So when China opens up, we're really confident we're going to be able to tap into both the outbound and inbound demand from this traffic. There've been a lot of improvements in terms of the connectivity between Hong Kong and the Greater Bay Area. Just prior to the pandemic, Hong Kong recently opened up the Hong Kong-Zhuhai-Macau Bridge, one of the longest bridges in the world, as well as Hong Kong is now connected to the Chinese mainland's high-speed rail network. So the opportunities that affords Hong Kong and Cathay being at the center of that is really unparalleled. I'll give you a really good example. When China opens up, passengers from Malaysia will be able to seamlessly transit in Hong Kong, coming off a Cathay Pacific flight and onto a ferry service that goes into any of these cities in the GBA. So I'm thinking from our corporate standpoint, there are a lot of really innovative and dynamic companies in the Greater Bay Area. They're the household names that we've heard of, such as Huawei, Tencent, all of these companies. I think there are a lot of opportunities for Malaysians to capitalize on the expansion of this market, and we're well placed to serve that.
So you don't see Hong Kong losing out its regional financial status hub as the discussion is going on now. There's a lot of debate on whether Hong Kong will remain relevant as the Greater Bay Area reopens. Rather, you see Hong Kong as part of that bigger picture that can benefit from being subsumed under the Greater Bay Area?
Yes, I think that's a very relevant question. And I think there've been a lot of analysts, or should we say naysayers, that have been talking about the future of Hong Kong and whether, sort of the larger question is whether Hong Kong's role is being weakened by all of this. My personal view is, I think it's too premature to make any conclusion on Hong Kong. I think a lot of people have written off Hong Kong before in the past, much to their peril. As I said, Cathay Pacific is very confident in Hong Kong's future and it's in its future as a major aviation hub. Hong Kong Airport has been investing a lot of money in upgrading its infrastructure to capitalize on that demand, as well as Hong Kong's continued role as an international financial center.
Back in 2017, Cathay Pacific purchased over 30 narrow-body jets, the A321neo, to capitalize on regional travel. I guess, does that figure anywhere in your future operations? Are you banking on an increase in short-haul travel as part of the post-pandemic landscape?
Yeah, well, I think the A321neo purchase that you talked about is very much part of our fleet regeneration plans. So we do want to make sure that our the age of our fleet across the board is still kept relatively young, and the purchase that we made were very much to replace some of our older aircraft that were reaching the end of their lifespans. But I think it's a great question to raise about the A321neos. They are one of the world's most fuel-efficient aircraft, and it's very much part of the company's commitment to reducing carbon emissions from travel. We have a net zero carbon emissions target by 2050. And I'm also really excited to also announce that, you know, we are a pioneer in many regards when it comes to sustainability. So, for instance, we just launched the first ever corporate sustainable aviation fuel program of its kind here in Asia. And we couldn't have done it without the support of our corporate customers as well as our cargo customers. And what this really allows is for companies to reduce their carbon emissions through the use of sustainable aviation fuel on our flights.
Okay, so you're saying even though you're facing a lot of challenges at the moment, your sustainability program has still managed to progress and you're on track to reach net zero by 2050, that's still the target.
Yeah. Sustainability is a really important part of what we do, and we see it as very much fundamental to our identity and our brand.
Mm-hmm. Roger, let's end on this note then. You project better things on the horizon. Hopefully things will be looking up in the second half of the year. Tell me about your targets or plans here in Malaysia for the remainder of the year. Will you be looking at any expansions? I don't know. Is there other talks about that at this moment, or is it really just getting back to pre-pandemic levels?
I think we're really focused on getting back up to our pre-pandemic levels. I know lots of friends, colleagues, customers I've talked to all wish to return back to Hong Kong, and who doesn't like traveling? And I think Hong Kong is a great city, and we really want to reconnect Hong Kong with Malaysia to our pre-pandemic capacity. So my focus will really be on making sure that our operations can fulfill that need and requirement. And as I said, Cathay has continued to transform as a business over the course of COVID-19 pandemic. And we fully intend to emerge stronger and more competitive.
Roger, thank you very much for speaking with me today.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to Roger Lee, Country Manager for Malaysia and Brunei of Cathay Pacific Airways. This has been The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, where unlimited potential begins.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.